I think we're all aware that the ladies went on a retreat for the last few days, and they came back pretty perky. They came up to me tonight, one of them did, stuck this in my hand, and said, "This is what we studied on the retreat, and we want you to answer every one of them. Don't cheat." Don't they know if I cheated, I wouldn't tell them? But we're happy they had a good time, and I will take a look at these. I'm going to get every one of them. Our lesson tonight has to do with the great promise of God to everyone that's been baptized into Christ and believes that He's the Son of God and has been added to the New Testament church. If you were to read in John in the 28th verse, you would find there the very last part of Jesus' ministry. He's closing it out, and the Greeks came, the Gentiles, came looking for Him and asked for Jesus. And one of His disciples told Jesus, said, "The Greeks are looking for you." And Jesus saw that immediately as an ominous thing in His life and as a sign. And that sign was that the hour of darkness has come. And then He uttered a prayer unto God in verse 28. And He said, "Father, glorify Thy name." And there came a voice from heaven, an angel, saying, "I have glorified Your name, and I will glorify it again." Here is the angel of the Lord speaking to our Lord in the very face of death and saying, "You know, you bring to mind now all of the things and every way that God has blessed you and you have been glorified on this earth. Well, that's just a prologue to the future." I think that text has a lot to say to us everyday Christians, even though it was spoken to the Lord. I would like to put another text with that for our application to our own lives today, and that's in John 1 in verse 50. In the first chapter, Jesus is beginning His ministry. The one we just used, He was at the close of His ministry. But this is at the beginning of His ministry. And Nathan came to Him, and Jesus said, "Behold, a man," Jesus said of Nathanael coming to Him, "Behold, a man in whom there is no guile." And Jesus said, "I knew about you when you were under the fig tree." And when He said, "I knew you when you were under the fig tree," Nathanael exclaimed, "My Lord and my God, You're the Son of God." And Jesus says, "Because I saw you under the fig tree, and you didn't think anybody saw you, and I knew you were there, that you call Me the Son of God, and this you think this is a great experience in your life? I want to say to you that," and this is the rest of the verse, "greater things than these you will see." Now that's for every one of us. One of us was for the Lord our God when the angel told Him, "I have glorified Your name and I'll glorify it again." But another one is the glory that comes into our own life when we have an experience with our Lord, when we learn the truth from the Bible, and when we become Christians. And it dawns upon Him as it did Nathanael, this is the Son of God. And at the beginning of that experience then, there is that same thing that can be said to us. Are you excited about becoming a Christian? Are you excited about the revelation that you have today? I say to you, if you live faithful for Him, there's greater things than this that's in store for you. And that's exactly what the angel was saying to Jesus Christ in the face of death. "I have glorified Your name, and I'm going to glorify it again." It's actually God saying, if you will recall all of the wonderful things and deeds that you've done, all the miracles you've performed, the calling of Mary Magdalene, the forgiving of her sins, and calling of Peter and all the rest of the apostles, and all the prayers that you've uttered, every good deed you've ever done, and I have been with you in that. You remember at your baptism when a voice came from heaven that said, "This is the Son of God, my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You recall all of that? That's just a prologue of what's going to happen that's in the future for you. And God help us tonight as individual Christians here, that knowing that if we just simply will call up the glories in the past, the fact that there's been showers of blessings in our life since we've become Christians, that we ought to trust in the future. That God has kept His word. I believe that every last one of us would go back through our Christian experience from the time that we became a Christian. Couldn't we not say now that I've lived, at least if you've lived several years like I have and like some of you have, here and here and here, I know that God was in my life. I know that on that dark day or at this time that He was in my life. And the angel of the Lord is saying, if you can recall that and know and have that in faith and know that by experience, then there's glory tomorrow. And it's going to be there for you, and you will not be put to shame. It's going to be there. There's been showers of blessings, but there's a tsunami coming. Jesus said in Mark the 10th chapter in verse 29, no one has left houses and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. But what in this life he will not receive a hundredfold, and in the world to come he's going to receive eternal life. The hundredfold is the glory of God now when we become a Christian, and the outpouring of God's blessings when we're all gathered together is the tsunami. It's the glory tomorrow. But it's immensely important that Christians really believe this and trust in his promises. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. But oh, it's hard sometimes when you feel alone to really trust and to really believe. The text then was spoken to Jesus in glorifying his name in the past, and the angel was saying, I am reminding you of the good days of your life and the good glory of all of this, and I want you to know, if you know this, why don't you trust that it'll be the same with God tomorrow? For remember, the Hebrew writer said also, he is the same yesterday, today, and today. But laying that down as a foundation, what does the text really mean in our own personal experience and in our own daily living for Christ? Well, he's saying the same thing. I have glorified your name in the past. And as we look back at the here and the here and the here where he's done those things, they stand out as mountain peaks to the Christian that's willing to confess them. Well, in the dark days I was there, but I was also there, and I think you would admit this, in the joyous experiences of your life. They had to be so joyful that you said that day had to be straight from heaven in my life. There's the joy of parental love, of a good home that you recall. There is the joy of the weddings that you've been to, and even in your own family. And there's the joy of the spouse, the mate's love in your life. And surely those are warm times that come together, and we know that God's blessings are sure. And so we challenge ourselves as we face the future. Can we point to any, since we've been a Christian, point to any dark moment in our life, since faith lit up our life, and say, here and here and here, God failed. He failed me. If that's true, then we stand with our feet upon the solid rock. What about the future? If past is factual experience, then we can trust in Almighty God to pour out the glory through His Word upon us as He has promised tomorrow and in the future. If that's what it means for us as individual Christians, what does it signify to the church? I have glorified your name and I will glorify it again. Well, churches that have lived for Jesus Christ and have remained faithful in the truth have a glorious past. But God says, even though you think about your glorious past, that should only challenge you for the future, because no one in the church is a successful church who keeps its head to the past. Look at the New Testament church. When it came into being there for a while, they were overflowing with freshness and wonder and discovery in their lives. The thrilling discovery that God has broken into history. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Things are happening and going to happen. They had a mighty history, but they were not living in the past history, because the greater glory of God lay in the future. But Brother Northern, they may have been filled with thrill, discovery, and all the vibrancy of being a Christian, but they went to the dungeon. They had their heads severed from the body and they were nailed to the cross. Yes, they did. But they went singing. They went singing. They were heard singing in the dungeon cells before they were fed to the lions. And what a testimony. Though that's an awesome thing, that's greater sermons than could ever be preached from a pulpit. Well, that is great anyway. And whatever there comes in our life, if we can mimic that kind of glory today, there'll certainly be glory tomorrow. That when the ceiling comes and falls in upon us, and when the dark days come, and they're coming, let's sing about it. Let's recall the past when God's never failed, and let's have a song in our heart, a lifting, lifting song. We may not see the revival, but I assure you, beloved, because I stand upon the Word of God, that God's Calvary is coming. Because I believe this with all of my heart, that He will not let Satan and death and sin have the final word over His beautiful, wonderful creation. The height of God's creation, as far as we know, and that's man that's created in the image of God. Do you think that He's going to let Satan and the devil have the final and the last word? Not on your life. God is still in control. And though all hell seems to be turned loose sometimes, or is about to be turned loose, Almighty God, who is behind it all, is still in control. The Old Testament says He rides on the crest of the flood. The flood may come, but look up at the top of the wave. It's the Almighty God. And when we're sinking, like Peter did, and we say, "Save us, Lord," He's there. And He lifts us up. And most of us who are Christians, I vouch to say all that have stayed faithful, would vouch that that's true. And if everyone would say amen to that, that's had that testimony in their life, it would shake the very rafters of this building. I have glorified Thy name, and I will glorify it again. And in our lives, He has glorified His name, and He says, "I'll do it again." But there's much sin, Brother Northern. Where sin abounds, though, the Bible says grace does much more abound. We just need to focus upon that and not the song, not the sin. That music that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. That music rings in the ears of the redeemed and fortifies us when the grim darkness settles in and the lights go out. The Christian that knows God, has been in his life, here and there in the past, is manifestly different from those who don't. For they have the dull, the formal, the unexciting, the unexpected religion in their life. No expectancy on arrival at church. No thrilling discoveries in their life. And religion is formal. But active faith is never dull. It waits with great expectation. For God said, I will glorify my name again. And we look forward to that. For the next sunrise in the surprise of God when he will glorify his name eventually for all. How does the text now, we've talked about how it applied to Christ and how it applies to the individual. How does it apply to Redland Road, the congregation here? Those of you who have been members of this congregation for a long period of time, before it ever came to this place, can look back through the history of Redland Road and know that the very walls of the building, both here and there, figuratively speaking, echoes with the joy and surprise and discovery and the love of saints with God mixing and mingling in fellowship. The prayers that have been said in this congregation, the comfort that has been given to people when they've lost their loved ones, the beauty and the joy that's surrounding the weddings, the very church radiates with the echoes of the singing of the saints of past loved ones. Isn't that something? Just then, when I made that statement, I recall the worship service when I was a teenager, Adam, where I grew up. And Aunt Meg Gibson sat right in front of me nearly every Sunday. She always wore a little hat with a feather in it. And she would just sing alto like nobody's business. And you ought to hear how she could really come out on that. Well, when I was talking here and I said that the very walls echo, my mind jumped back to that time. And in my heart, I can still hear Aunt Meg sing. Sometimes she's off key. Didn't make any difference with me or the saints. I think God will take care of that when she gets to heaven. I think we'll all be on key. You have witnessed in this congregation the joy of conversions, people coming to Christ. And so you say, as we reflect, there has been glory in the past, but you're not focused on it, because that glory is only the assurance, when we remain faithful, that the greater glory is coming even to this congregation tomorrow. Finally, brethren, does this text not speak about eternity itself? Well, it must, because that's what was facing Jesus Christ when the angel spoke these words. He was looking death right square in the face. And for a congregation this age, as many loved ones now that you can recall have gone over on the other side of Jordan's chilly waters, and the text speaks to that as well. We shiver as the cold winds of Jordan began to blow over us, and then we try to pull material blankets around us, but they can't counter the chill. The only thing that counts is holding dear in our heart, I have glorified my name in your life, and I will glorify it again tomorrow. We sing sometimes. I used to sing it with on campaigns. No turning back, no turning back. Well, that has a good message, but I'd like to place another hymn beside that one. There's a beautiful place called heaven. It is hidden above the bright blue, where the good who from earth ties are riven live in love and eternity true. Or the song that we sing sometimes, Our God, He is Alive. No person can sing that in spirit and truth that is not thrilled with that verse. I have glorified you, and I'll do it again tomorrow. Today we sing, He is so good to me. We've sung this in this congregation. He is so good to me, but all past goodness and blessings will be nothing but baby toys when, after the sunburst of eternity, we will, in the sweet by and by, be singing with our blessed loved ones who've gone before, Moses and the Lamb. That's what John says. You will not be put to shame. He is now risen in great glory. It came true what the angel said. I've glorified, I glorified again. And on that day, that Sunday morning, he was glorified again. And with all of our loved ones who have died in faith before us, so we sing again, Hallelujah, thine the glory. And we offer this invitation once again for anyone and everybody who would believe upon his word to be one with us and be able to say, Yes, thy showers of blessings in my life began tonight, and I'll look for the greater glory tomorrow. So please hear the divine terms of his invitation. And that those divine terms are this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. That invitation is to everybody who would believe the word of the gospel, which is that Jesus is really the Son of God, that he was resurrected from the dead. You know, there is more documented history for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they are for many battles of Napoleon that he fought, and yet people don't have any trouble with history. It's just when it comes to the resurrection of the dead. We have over 500 brethren at once that witnessed that. We have the 12 apostles who were willing to die and give their lives, and many of the New Testament church went to the lions singing. How could they do that? They didn't do it on a theory. They didn't do it on a maybe, I guess so, perhaps. They knew something. And as we look back to that glory, God is not going to let those martyrs down. They will not be disappointed, John says in the book of Revelation, but with them, and us too, with them, be clothed in the white robes of righteousness, there to sing where our sun will hang in an eastern sky forever and forever. Those beautiful songs that are laid up on our heart at that time. We often kindly wonder about heaven and how it's going to be. I think I've preached some sermons along that line in the past. We don't know how it's going to be, but God is going to take care of all that. Will I know each other in heaven, Brother Northern? Well, after we get acquainted, because there's some people you're going to have to get acquainted with, maybe some of your own family. Like, for instance, if you had a child like I have that died when he was a baby, I don't think he'll come back as a little babbling baby in heaven, but somebody may well walk up to me and say, I was born into your family and your family. I am your son, or was your son. Oh, you don't say. And then there's somebody else that we walk by the casket who was a dear Christian that passed on, and their face is wrinkled and their hair's about gone, and they're not too pleasant to look at in such a condition. It won't be that way in heaven. I won't see them that way. I'll have to be introduced again. This was, and it was John or Henry or Mary or whoever. But in the new body, be in pristine beauty. For the righteousness of the heart will radiate all over heaven, where it says there will be no need for any light. For the righteousness of the saints and of God are the light that's there. We look forward to that. I have glorified your name in the past. Dwell on that.
in bad days. I will be with you. I'll never leave you. And that goes through, clear past the judgment. If you will come unto Jesus Christ tonight with faith and repent of your sins and confess your faith in him by the mouth, as he asks us to do, Matthew 10:32, and be willing to be the inconvenience. Don't you want to be just a little bit inconvenienced for Christ? Is it an inconvenience to get all wet? Have to redress? Some people won't do that. They say, well, in our church, we just put a little up here. Or maybe just say, are you convinced that God has saved you? You know? But if you're willing to put yourself to that test, because it is a test of saving faith, and your faith is not a saving faith until it says, that's the word. And as Christ went through the chilly waters of death, I will follow him in these waters, rise to walk in newness of life. If you live faithful unto him, Revelation 2:10, a crown of life is there. I have glorified your name in the past. I'm going to, my name, and I'm going to in the future. If there's a single soul here tonight that's wandered astray and not sure anymore of that blessing, we hope there's not a single one. But if there is one, there's hope. And that hope is that you can say to Jesus humbly, I have sinned. We will pray with you and for you if you'll make that known, that your sins might be forgiven again and you can start over. In Jesus' name we'll pray this. The invitation is yours as together we stand and sing.